This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 407 with Ropp. That's me. Big Souk right over there.
So.
It is Monday, and we are footballing hard. Now, here's what's coming up. We've got our stock watch in our next segment. Then in the news, we'll do a brief Clemson LSU preview, and then the game will air here on The Fan. So we're out of here at 5. So we've got a lot more to discuss tomorrow. We're not going to get to any Antonio Brown video news.
No.
Any Astros punishment news, any of that stuff until tomorrow.
We haven't even really touched on Houston and Kansas City.
Yeah, that one... And I guess we can. I want to play the Marshawn Lynch audio here, but
that game was just bonkers.
That, you know, that's the first time in NFL history that a team has gone to halftime leading after trailing by 24 or more.
Yeah.
It has never happened.
No.
That what happened in that game in the first half has never occurred ever in any other game.
Wasn't it also the first time that a team trailed by 20 to then win by 20?
Yes, first time ever. It's unbelievable. And by the end of it, it didn't seem odd. You were like, nah, that's about right.
Well, once it was 28-24, knew Houston wasn't winning, right?
Zero chance.
Once it was 24-21, I knew Houston wasn't winning, and they still had the lead.
Yeah, when they scored 14, and then they had the fumble on the kickoff, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's just about going to seal it. Thanks for coming.
Have you ever seen a four-point game at half be a blowout?
No.
No, but it kind of felt like that.
Was coming
because Houston wasn't going to stop them.
No, and every time they showed Bill O'Brien, he had the Eli Manning, the bad fish face, like he just ate a bad piece of tuna.
God, he's terrible.
He is,
dude. He
and
is
yet
so
there's
bad.
No one to fire him because they don't have a GM.
Oh, really?
No, he's well, their GM.
The owner can fire him.
I don't even know if I think the owner
they
is just an absentee landlord.
Dude, I think they should move. They
need to move on.
They are in a window with Deshaun Watson where if they hooked him up with a really sharp offensive, like I think they should go get Josh McDaniels if they can.
Yeah.
Hook him up with Deshaun Watson. And I think they'd be much better off than Bill O'Brien.
Oh, and by the way, it's okay. You can just upgrade your offensive line with your draft. Oh, wait, you gave up all your draft picks.
God. And he just, dude, he ran. Okay. Here's an overlooked thing in that game. That son of a bitch ran his punt team onto the field. Mm-hmm. God, what was the scenario? Well, it was the last, they were down 17, or maybe it was when they were already down 20. And they were driving, and it was like, you know, pretty much desperation time. He ran his punt team out there.
And then burned a timeout to think about
it. Yeah. Dude, what? Was like, wait, what?
And so then
he had to call a timeout. Yeah. It's like, why would you even? Okay, this tells me everything I need to know about Bill O'Brien, that he even considered throwing his punt team out there.
Yeah. And they even said it that when they were run out the punt team, they were like,
what?
Maybe he'll take a timeout here. Oh, there you go. Take a timeout.
Did you also notice that Houston had no timeouts left for the last like 7 minutes of the game?
Well, it's because he's burning them doing dumb crap like that. Bill O'Brien,
he sucks.
Well, the thing is because they make the playoffs. They've won that division, I think, 4 out of the last 5 years. So he's the worst coach of the best team.
Well, he's got a hell of a quarterback.
Yes.
And they have put enough around. I mean, they've got some good players on that team.
Sure. When Will Fuller and Hopkins are on there, except Will Fuller's never on the field together.
Yes.
But when he's out there.
This game.
Yeah, it's a difference. Remember, they were also the ones that didn't want Jadeveon Clowney, and last time I checked, he worked out pretty well for Seattle. But,
also got rid of Dwayne Brown, too.
Yeah. That was an owner thing.
I don't know how much credit the Chiefs should get for that, and I know that sounds terrible.
They did score 51 in three quarters.
One on a 51-7 run.
Dude, they were down 24. See, we forget, because they came back and blitzed the Texans. Mm. We are glossing over the fact that the Chiefs totally laid an egg, and any good team would not have blown that lead.
No.
Right? Houston, they're lucky Houston sucks. But then the question is, how the F did you get down 24-0 to them? They were doing everything they could to blow that game. Classic Andy Reid. They showed Andy Reid on the sideline, and he was like, oh, my God.
Didn't they drop like 5 consecutive passes?
They are so lucky.
And then the fumble. I want to believe that they Princess Brided it. That they went into the game and were like, guys, this isn't even... Tell you what, let's take the first quarter off, see how they're going to play the first quarter left-handed,
dude.
And then we'll see if we can make a comeback, because they felt bad that if they had, think about it, had they played 4 quarters like they did the final 3, they beat Houston like 80-0.
Yeah, but yeah, I just feel like they're really lucky that that wasn't a better team, because you can't play like that for even a quarter in the playoffs and get down 24-0 and expect to win.
Let's say they fall behind Tennessee or Baltimore the way those teams run.
They're dead. And so they're pretty lucky. Now, that being said, now all of a sudden they're the Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm immediately looking at...
I thought it was San Francisco, but yeah, Vegas has a slight favorite with Kansas City.
That's because we fall in love with the fact that they scored 51, but remember, they scored it against Houston. Houston sucks.
Look, we haven't even...
So here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting at. Tennessee's going to the Super Bowl.
You think Tennessee gets them?
I think Tennessee's going to get them, because I think we're now overvaluing Kansas City based on that debacle of a game. Houston's not that good. Kansas City came out and laid an egg. Their offense is awesome, but Tennessee's already seen it once, and I feel like Tennessee, the way that... You know, I went back and looked at that box score, that Kansas City-Tennessee game. Mm-hmm. Henry ran for 188 yards in that game. And if he does that... They can limit Kansas City offensively,
puts them on the bench.
The Titans, man, they've got that look.
Titans do. That's why I said they've got a real Giants vibe about them.
But I said that about Minnesota, and they got their ass kicked.
I thought so, too. I did. I didn't think Minnesota was going to win that game, but I thought it was going to be close and that Minnesota was going to have a chance. Look, Garoppolo didn't play well at all. The Niner offense wasn't that impressive, and it didn't matter because Minnesota's offense could do nothing.
Would I be an idiot to say Jimmy Garoppolo is not that good?
No.
Because I don't think he's that good.
He's a perfectly average quarterback.
I think Garoppolo had a better year than you're giving him credit for.
Oh, he had a good year, but that doesn't mean he's great.
He wasn't great in this game, no.
I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo... See, here's the other one. You know me, I love points. I'm going to take the Packers because I'm looking at Rodgers versus Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo is going to hand him one or two. He always does.
You know what we said on yesterday's show? We said Jimmy Garoppolo is like Kirk Cousins. Statistically, he'll have you some good years, but he's also going to lose you a lot of games because he's not that great.
I think that's unfair to both of them, because I think Garoppolo and Cousins are good. Now,
I'm not saying they're not good. I just don't think he's as good as everybody thinks.
Well, does anyone,
Garoppolo?
I see, and that's where I don't think anyone believes he's Russell Wilson. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Pat Mahomes. Not Deshaun Watson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But I think Garoppolo and Cousins are really good quarterbacks. I think they're better than people give them credit for, but they're not elite. I think they're second tier guys.
Well, that game, yeah. I mean, nobody's arguing that. Nobody's saying they're elite. It's just that I just think Garoppolo is going to screw it up. I feel like he has that gene, and he threw one right to Minnesota. I mean, he threw one right to, was it Smith?
It was Kendricks.
Kendricks.
Yeah.
Whoever it was. I mean, at the end of the half, that was a huge play.
Yep.
It's just that Minnesota's defense at one point, it was just like, would they run 15 straight times? Like, yeah, they didn't even need Garoppolo because Vikings defense was a sieve and they couldn't stop the run.
They just pounded the ball.
So, I saw a friend of mine who was a Niners fan say Garoppolo over 7 yards, it starts to get a little bit squirrely.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah,
you can't trust
him on long throws.
But when Minnesota's run game, they ran the ball 10 times for 21 yards.
Yeah, dude, they only had 147 yards the whole game.
I'll tell you what, your defense, that when that defensive line is humming,
it's amazing.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed that Minnesota was able to shut down New Orleans, and I was like, well, maybe Minnesota is that team, because I was like, if they can shut down New Orleans offense, they can shut down
tell
San Francisco's. It didn't matter because the San Francisco defense was a gall darn juggernaut.
That Niners-Packers game is a heavyweight battle.
Yeah, it is.
And the first meeting was a little funky. The Niners kicked their ass. I don't think it's going to be like that this time. But
the only thing that
we'll
scares
have more
me,
time to talk about that.
Yeah, is Green Bay is not a good second half team. Green Bay doesn't have adjustments. Yeah. It's Aaron Rodgers and it's Devontae Adams, And it doesn't appear that there's going to be a whole lot after that. And I just don't know if they're complete enough right now to beat the San Francisco team.
Well, we can talk more about that later in the week. I want to play something from Marshawn Lynch because who knows? He's probably done. He's not that good.
No.
But he scored a touchdown. Did he score two touchdowns or one touchdown yesterday?
I think he might have had two.
Couple goal line touchdowns, I think.
Yeah. He had a touchdown in every game he played. They were all just, you know, 3 yard carries.
And he's such a piece of work.
Sure.
And so he sat down for his post game interview. This maybe could be his last. And here's what he had to say.
Well, look, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So if they was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money, African, because that don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what you want to. So I tell y'all right now while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all. I have a good day.
It's chicken.
How about that?
Do you take care of your mentals and your chicken?
I try to.
Yeah. Well, then you're taking Marshawn's advice.
Mentals, chicken, bodies, bread, and money.
Yeah.
But I think bread,
like
money.
And, three times. Yeah.
Bread, money, and chickens are all the same thing.
Sure.
Right? The chicken's money.
I've never heard of the chicken. Now, did that just come from scratch? Is that where that?
Yeah, I think that from chicken scratch.
Scratch, so maybe that's where I have never heard.
I'm going to go with that.
I've never heard money referred to as chicken.
Chicken.
Got to take care of my chicken.
I love the mentals. Take care of y'all mentals. So good. Man, that guy is such a piece of work.
Yes. But he's one of the best personalities to come along in the NFL in a long time.
Pretty rough around the edges at first, too, wasn't he? I mean, like, he's had some.
Yeah, he's been through some stuff.
But, you know, he's older, more fun Marshawn now.
Yeah.
All right, Stockwatch coming up next. What we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, coming up here, we'll have an abbreviated in the news, and then we'll preview LSU Clemson, and then we'll get on with the game, because that is tonight. But here is Mike with our Stockwatch.
It's tough to pick against the Titans. They keep proving me wrong. I think they deserve a ton of credit, but there's just things about this team. They can't score every single time they get in the red zone. They're not going to, you know, hold the opposing defense to, or opposing offense 12 points again every single week. I just don't think that's likely to keep occurring. So, you know, they might have that sort of magic. I've certainly seen Giants teams and Ravens teams in years past that didn't look great on paper, but when they got to the playoffs, they got hot and won a Super Bowl. Certainly stranger things have happened, but I just think the Chiefs are the better team, so I'll go Niners Chiefs.
Bill Barnwell, discounting the Titans a little bit there, at least for this week's game against KC. Buy or sell, you think the Titans' magic run ends in Kansas City?
I do think that. I mean, I'm not going to discredit the Titans. And he brought up the Giants, and I was thinking that when I was watching that game. I'm like, man, they got a real Giants feel about them. But I do think Kansas City's the better team. I really do. You can't throw for 80 yards, right, and go to the playoffs every game. I just – eventually, you're going to have to the luck's got to run out, and that Chiefs offense, the way it's playing right now – it's tough for me to say it, but I give me Kansas City. I think the run ends for Tennessee, even though I've been really, really impressed, and they've proved a lot of people, including me, you know, wrong.
I sell. Wait, what did you ask?
That the Titans' run would end in Kansas City.
Yeah, sell. I think the Titans might win. And you know, Kansas City on paper, I guess, is the better team, but they've already played once and Tennessee beat them.
Yeah,
and not only that, but I think sometimes it comes down to matchups. And Tennessee has a guy by the name of Derrick Henry who has rushed three straight games over 180 yards. That's never happened. Like, this is uncharted what is happening with
now
him.
Now he's throwing touchdown passes.
And then it's about matchups. So you look at the other team and say, well, how do they do against the run? Kansas City is 26th against the run.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a barn burner. And, I, you know, who knows? I mean, Kansas City lost in this spot last year. So maybe they can get over the hump this time. It's certainly probably an easier game than, say, the Patriots were last year, Tom Brady, and they took that. Yeah, it was an overtime game. I mean, Kansas City, they were down 24-0 to the stupid-ass Texans. That is unbelievable.
And then scored like 7 straight touchdowns.
Because the Texans suck. They can't do that against Tennessee. I go back to that. Everybody's going to forget about how Kansas City laid a giant egg in that game. But because the Texans' defense is terrible and can't stop anybody, they were able to come back. I got Tennessee. I think Tennessee might win this. I feel like it's a bad matchup for Kansas City because Derrick Henry is going to be able to run. I think they're going to be able to control the clock. And I think they're going to be able to keep Mahomes on the sideline. I think it comes down to sevens or threes. Kansas City got sevens against Houston. It changed the game. But if Tennessee can just hold them to threes, I think that works in their
favor.
They
did a great job against Baltimore for that.
I did walk with Bill O'Brien from the visiting coach's locker room to the team buses, and he expressed no regret about his decisions and was quite willing to explain to me his thought process. He said that they felt like that they weren't going to be able to punt too many times, that they felt like they were going to have to manufacture some points, manufacture some yards, and he just felt like it was not the time to play it safe, that they were going to need more than 50 points to win the game. And you can, you know, certainly argue that if your emphasis is going to be on scoring points and maximizing opportunities because you recognize you might need to score a lot of points, that going for it on 4th and 2 on the Kansas City 11 had more potential than calling a fake punt on 4th and 4 from your own 32.
Ed Werder on Bill O'Brien's coaching decisions in the second quarter of that game that allowed Kansas City back into it. Buy or sell, if you were Houston, you would have fired him on the tarmac, Lane Kiffin style.
Yeah, I think it's time for a change.
Ooh, tarmac firing, huh?
You know, and wow. I just think, but it's tough because you don't have a GM, he's your acting GM. But yes, this team is too talented to continue to have this. Bill O'Brien needs to go, and you need to get someone in there that can get the most out of Deshaun Watson and get him some help. Bill O'Brien is never taking this team where you want it.
You know,
ultimately,
what?
Where you want it to go.
Mike, I'm going to buy that on the whole tarmac thing because I feel like that sends a message. It's like, that was unacceptable.
Yes.
You were up 24-0
and
you lost by
out.
20. That is unacceptable. We do not stand for that here. And whether you like Bill O'Brien or not, we're going in a different direction because you can't do that. And that's different than firing him, you know, taking a couple weeks and saying, well, we're going to go in a different direction. It's a direct reaction to that game because that was inexcusable. And so I would have, yeah, hell, I'll buy that. I think Bill O'Brien's terrible, honestly terrible. And he's just lucky he has Deshaun Watson. That's all you can say about Houston.
And I think it's part of how this team has evolved a little bit as well. I mean, it's a team that hasn't, this season, just been carried by Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It's been a team that has relied on Aaron Jones a little bit more. It's a team that has relied a little bit more on their defense, especially the early part of the season. Been a bit of a lull with that defense. But if they are coming on now and can start to close out games and give you fits now, look, that's the right time for your defense to be peaking.
Tim Hasselbeck on the Packers after their win over the Seahawks. I think we can all agree that the Packers looked pretty impressive in that game for the most part. Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams' connection was going very well. But buy or sell, they will score 17 or fewer points against the Niners' defense and lose.
I believe that. I like Green Bay's offense, but you saw it really stall out, and it goes through these lulls. What Davante Adams is really the only guy I think that Aaron Rodgers really trusts. And yes, the run game has been better, but I just think against San Francisco and that defensive line, they're not going to be able to run the ball. I think San Francisco is going to double Adams on the outside, and I'm just not confident in this Green Bay offense to put up a bunch of points against San Francisco. So yes, I do think San Francisco holds them under 17. And I don't believe that Green Bay can go into San Francisco and beat the Niners the way they're playing right now.
Hold them under 17, huh? Where'd you get that number?
It's just a random number I thought of
in
my head.
The sky.
The sky. My brain.
No, I think they'll score more than that. I think this will be... Aaron Rodgers is awfully good, man. And I know San Francisco looked great against Minnesota. But again, I go back to Minnesota and go, God, they're... You know what team I go back to that I just want to take a giant steaming dump on?
Minnesota?
No. Saints.
Yeah.
How did you lose that Minnesota team? Like, that Minnesota team's been getting carved up by everybody. Go look at Minnesota's best. Their best win, by the way, all year was the win at New Orleans. And they look good. You got to give them credit. But maybe that was just the Saints laying a giant egg, right? Because the Packers, the last time they played the Vikings, they kicked their ass. I mean, every good team that the Vikings played this year They've gotten their ass kicked.
Yeah.
So I mean, and you got to give the Niners credit, but I think this is two very even teams, the Niners and Packers.
You realize last time they played, it was 37-8.
Yeah, but I remember that game, and I remember the Packers did that at the Chargers too. The Packers had a couple games this year where they just didn't show up, and that ain't gonna happen this time. They looked awful good against Seattle, and you're right, they do kind of sit on the ball a little bit, but. I like Aaron Rodgers. I think him versus Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll take Green Bay because I think the teams are pretty close. And so, therefore, I think they'll score over 17. If they're going to put it this way, if they're going to win that game, they're going to have to score over 17. I think Rodgers can do that.
The last 4 weeks of the season, and this was against Washington, Chicago, Minnesota, and Detroit, they put up 20, 21, 23, 23.
This is Green Bay.
This is Green Bay against Seattle. After the first half, their offense wasn't very effective at all, and I think they're going to run into an absolute buzzsaw in San Francisco.
I think when it came down to it, he made a decision, and that decision was he wanted to know what happened. And if what happened had to do with the players, it's going to be hard enough to go up against the Major League Baseball Players Association into a grievance hearing and get players suspended. This is something that could have lingered on for years. And I don't think Rob Manfred wanted this thing, as ugly as it is already, hanging over the sport for that long.
ESPN's Jeff Passan there talking about the MLB suspension and punishment of the Astros after the sign-stealing scandal today. Very mixed reaction from what I've seen so far on this punishment. Either it's 50% it was the right punishment, or 50% it was not enough of a punishment. Buy or sell, it wasn't enough of a punishment in your mind.
It's a pretty big punishment. Yeah. I mean,
I'm okay with the punishment.
I am too. I mean, short of taking away the World Series, which I don't even know can you.
Well, nobody will care about that anyway, right?
You know,
we've seen in college sports, we vacate your title. Everyone's like, yeah, okay, but they still won.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could give it to the Dodgers. Like, I don't know, here, take it. So, the $5 million fine is the most that you can do under Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreement. You got the GM and the coach fired.
Probably never going to return to baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you want them to do. I mean, unless you're just talking about like going through and suspending players.
Well, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah,
in the court,
I don't have a problem with it. I think this was actually pretty.
For what it's worth, I agree with that. I think this was the right level of punishment. I asked the question because I've seen a lot of social media is like, oh, not enough. Well, so drop the hammer. Yeah, that was dropping.
Well, do you want
the hammer?
Then you're talking like you're suspending like half the team, like. How many guys on the team were doing it, right? So can you suspend the Astros? I mean, you can't just say, all right, the Astros can't field the team this year.
Make them play with four players.
Yeah.
A pitcher, a catcher, an infielder, and an outfielder.
I don't know what you want them to do. This was pretty harsh.
I think it was, too. I can't wait to see what happens to Alex Cora.
Yeah.
Because apparently he was behind the Astros cheating and the Red Sox cheating.
Yeah. My guess is that he's going to get the same thing that AJ Hinch got and that he may be done, period.
Well, I don't know. I bet he may get more than a year. The thing about him is what they're saying is they're still investigating the Red Sox situation.
Yeah.
So they aren't going to release how they're going to punish Alex Cora.
No, but I mean Hinch got a year. But people are saying like that he may never recover from this. So whether he gets a year, whether he gets 2 years, he may just be done too. Because it sounds like he had way more to do with this than
he was like the ringleader.
He was the guy.
Yeah. Wait, you're talking about Cora?
Cora.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that he might. It's possible he gets a lifetime ban. They might kick his ass out. Yeah. Pete Rose did.
Yeah, for gambling. I mean,
and a lot of people think cheating to win the World Series is worse than what he did.
And then to have it happen for his team that he was managing and win a World Series the following year.
Exactly.
Would double it.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why it's interesting. They won't announce what they're going to do to him yet, but it's going to be bad, maybe worse than Hinch. All right. So that is our Stock Watch. Each week it's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge and abbreviated in the news is next. Here's Mike.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next, we will tee you up for Clemson LSU. Believe it or not, there's still a college football game left to play. And it's the biggest one. Two teams, 14-0. And they're going to kick it off here in about 20 minutes right here on The Fan. So we'll have a little preview of that in our next segment. But right now, it's January 13, 2020. Stop reading the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Clean Off Your Desk Day.
Oh, okay.
And National Public Radio Broadcasting Day.
Yeah, look at us. My desk probably does need to be cleaned off, and we do broadcast radio.
We don't do public radio. Well, I mean, we do, but I think...
Isn't this public radio? I mean...
Well...
You talking about, like OPB sort of stuff?
Yeah, I'm talking about, like we're for-profit, like, owned by a private company. It's like... I think that's what that means, but should I know that? Should you know that? I mean, we're in radio.
Is there, like, a...
Is there an
OPB, but with radio?
What?
I mean, like, NPR? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like, National Public Radio, yeah. And then there's OPB, and every state has public... I mean, there's public broadcasting.
But that's what I'm asking, is, like, do we have an Oregon, like, public broadcasting?
OPB. Oregon Public Broadcasting.
But is there a radio... I don't know the radio version of that.
It's a radio station. It's,
91.5 or whatever it is.
No, I didn't know.
You're not an OPB guy, huh?
I'm not. I'm aware of the TV.
Just down the street from us.
I was not aware of the...
Yeah, they're right down the street.
The radio. What do they broadcast?
Well, like news and features and it's actually
typical public.
I'm not supposed
stuff.
To say this, but it's really good.
Oh, okay.
I'm not supposed. You should listen to us. They're terrible. All right. All we have time for is the very sad story of the family swept out to sea.
Yeah, it's awful.
Did you see that?
I did.
Arch
see
Cape,
that.
Oregon. 7-year-old girl has died. 4-year-old boy missing, and then the dad. So he was walking. So the mom wasn't with them.
Yeah, they got the sneaker wave.
The Stiles family. And they were walking on a path, just like you and I would, or you would with your family. And I'll be damned, a wave came up, swept them out. And dad is recovering from hypothermia. Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm assuming
and then the kids are dead.
Yeah, the dad went in trying to...
Well, they all got swept in.
Yeah.
And they say that they were all separated, and there was a rescue. There was a... Manzanita Police Department was there, and they got into the water, and they managed to pull the girl out. They got her to the hospital, but she died. The boy, they couldn't find, and then the man, of course, they saved him, and he's alive.
The picture that they have when I saw the story in the front page of the Oregon Live, it's so heartbreaking because it's from that trip. It's a good looking family, and they're all smiling, and
the Stiles family.
Yeah, it's just I honestly can't even fathom.
No.
What that's like for the dad to just be walking along the trailhead there, and you've got your kids with you, and then a second later everything else changes.
Yeah, they said about it. I don't know where exactly they were, but they were on an off beach trail, and a sneaker wave rolled in, pulled them all out there. They released a statement. The Stiles family want to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers, and especially the support of the first responders and Coast Guard during this horrific tragedy for our family. First responders have reported that they were on an off-beach trail, and when the waves came up and pulled them in, our hearts, as you can imagine, could not be more broken, as both children were loved beyond measure by our entire family and so many others.
Ugh. Just, again, I have no idea what to say other than I
have a question about those.
I can't fathom that kind of pain.
Those sneaker waves, what are those? How big are those? And I'm sure they vary, but like, what is that like? I wonder.
I've seen.
I can't picture that in my head.
I've seen some video clips where, and a lot of times they do it where like with like models or something will be like posing on the beach or whatever, and then the wave comes and hits. And I mean, they're pretty significant. I mean, I don't think you're talking about like an 8-foot wave or anything like
right,
that.
But the undertow is very strong, and it just grabs you.
Well, it goes through and like it knocks you down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty impactful wave, and then it sucks you out.
All right. Well. Terrible situation there. Terrible. All right. I think that's all we have time for.
Yeah.
Are we done here?
I think we're done. It was an abbreviated edition. Well,
you guys want some uplifting news before we go?
Yeah. Can you give me something? Because that's awful.
Ted Wheeler's getting divorced. Nick Fish is dead. The city's broke. But hey.
I got a new
clock. It didn't snow.
I got a new clock.
What?
I got a big giant clock.
Why? Who cares?
I wanted a big clock. On the wall.
Who effing cares?
Well, me. I'm trying to find something positive after you just dragging us down in the
That's
toilet.
That's not positive. No one cares about that.
It's a good looking clock.
How about what? The national championship game starts in 15 minutes?
Oh,
that's exciting.
Hey, there's Pat McAfee.
This has been a very awkward. I haven't been listening to it, obviously, but they just have people on the sideline walking up and down and like stalking the players.
Orlovsky's out there.
It's very strange.
This is an ESPN production. That's why.
This is the pregame field pass. I think they're doing like the super broadcast again, right? Where all the different channels have different things on it.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I think
they
so.
Have the coaches thing again this year?
I'm assuming so.
I like
They've
that
done
one.
It the last handful of years. I don't know why they would stop.
Clemson's wearing their all orange.
Well, I'm torn because you know how I feel about Dabo. And I don't want him to win three national titles, but I win a significant amount of money if Clemson wins. So
yeah, but you need them to win.
Yeah.
See, I just need him to cover.
No, I need the win.
So I can root for LSU, but only by a little.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to root for Clemson.
All right. We'll tee you up for that game coming up next. 4:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So just kind of just got caught up on my sneaker wave. I don't know, information.
Yeah.
Over the break. Some interesting videos online about sneaker waves and what they are.
We got, you see like a size we're dealing with here?
Well, think like, yeah, so they're just like, you know how the waves are coming up the beach and they come to a certain spot, you know?
Yeah.
And so you see four or five waves and they come kind of hit the same general area. Mm-hmm. The sneaker wave is just one that just goes way beyond that and it comes out of nowhere. So the ocean's already scary enough, much less them playing tricks on us.
Yeah.
But that's what it does. It's not tall. It's you know.
But it's enough to knock you down.
But it's
enough.
Absolutely. Depending on, because apparently this area where these this family was, there's just not a lot of beach there. Nope. It's just there's just not a lot of sand. It's water and then a bluff. And so if one hits, that's a lot of water.
Well, and then you're dealing with extreme cold, and you know it's.
But there's some crazy videos of people running away from sneaker waves and or just getting hit by them, and it's, yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, LSU Clem.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh.
You're a sports guy. We only got 2 minutes left.
I think this comes down to the LSU defense, to be honest with you, because I don't think – there are a lot of people that think this game is going to be played, you know, in the high 30s and 40s. I don't. I think it's going to be more like Ohio State and Clemson. And to me, this just boils down to, can the LSU defense, which has been okay this year, but far from great. But I mean, they've got three NFL guys in their secondary, and that is the strength of the team. Will their defense be able to hold up against Clemson? Cause I don't think that LSU is going to put up 40 plus points against Clemson. So if you want a key matchup, there you go. And there's just NFL talent all over the field. You've probably got arguably two of the three or four best receiving cores in the country. You've got the two best quarterbacks in the country going head to head, two NFL running backs. I mean, this is everything you could want in a heavyweight matchup, but I still like Clemson. I think they're the more balanced team. It's the number one scoring defense in the country. It's like the number three or four offense, depending on what metric. And I know LSU has the number one offense, but the defense is the one weak link. And most of the time, well, in fact, every time we talked about it last week, when we have the top five offense, top five defense that plays each other, the defense has come out on top every time.
Well, there you go. I like it. Boy, they've got Lee Corso up there.
I know. He picked LSU, good, which is another reason why heavens. Clemson will win.
And then Nick Saban's got a bad dye job. They got him up there. Hey, it's going to be a fun night. We got the game coming up next. Clemson LSU here on The Fan. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Ships of Spain, red ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.